Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
What a great pleasure it is to be with you and to share with you and to be honored with your time with this maiden voyage of the No BS Bishop radio broadcast, which will be converted to a podcast down the road, but that's a whole nother story. It is a pleasure to be with you. I'm Randy Dean, Bishop at Large. I do believe that God has blessed me in a thousand different ways with wisdom that has been hard fought, wisdom that has been learned through my failures, my successes, my ups, and mostly my downs. I have a saying in life that advice we listen to, but pain we obey. And I've had plenty of pain in my life with which to learn and obey what the right way is. So this is the maiden voyage, No BS Bishop. I'm glad that you chose to join us here every Saturday and Sunday at this same time here on the radio station. Listen, I have a subtitle to this, No BS Bishop, Alive to Love. All one word, alive, number two, love. I'm alive to love. I'm going to invite you to join me in a journey to be alive to love. Anything else other than love is potential BS, folks. Let me tell you something. There's one value to live by in this life, and that is love. Everything else can slide easily into manipulation, control, codependency, and a variety of other maladies of the human condition. Love is that one thing that does not fail. 1 Corinthians 13, we all know it. We've heard it 100 times, if not more, in weddings. Although 1 Corinthians 13 was not written for weddings, it was written for lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 13, the beautiful passage from the Apostle Paul, and I'm going to read it in the Message version just to start out with here. It says, if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. That's Paul's way of saying, I'm alive to love. Everything else is just BS. And here's how the Message Bible sums this up. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself on others. Love isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Ooh, boy, I'm going to talk about that one quite a bit over the weeks and months ahead. Love doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Love puts up with anything. Love trusts God always. Love always looks for the best. Love never looks back. Love keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. But we know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. Ladies and gentlemen, I do believe that it's high time for us folks of faith to run toward the one thing that Jesus promised would be the one thing that would define us, love. He said, by this shall all people know, by this, shall all people know that you are my disciples, indeed, that you love one another. I think we've read that in the context of our little church gatherings, which is fine. I've seen churches that haven't loved, and I've seen churches that have loved. I'd rather see a church that loves. But it isn't just about a little church context. This is about the entire context of the people of spirituality, the people that call themselves by the name of Jesus, the Christians, if you will. I love to call myself a lover of Jesus. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm fascinated with Jesus Christ. I I shy away from other labels because those other labels get kind of squirreled into political categories and other minutiae that I just don't want to be identified with. I want to be identified as that, as a guy who has set his sail into the winds of the beauty of Jesus Christ. And the one thing Jesus said should typify who we are, if we do that, is love. So I think we'd better cut the BS and go for love. How about that? I want to be straightforward with you. Cut the BS. Cut the bait and switch. Cut everything else that makes us want to be heard as a person of faith. How about we go for love? There's an author and musician by the name of Rico Dashim who says this: live to learn to love. Learn to love to live. Love to live, to learn, so that you may live the life you yearn. I say it this way: love is an attitude and a way of doing life. So at this broadcast on these Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 9:30 a.m., I want to talk to you about this life of love. It's going to take an awful long time, so I trust that this radio broadcast and ultimate podcast will be around for a very long time to discuss the value of love over every other argument, over every other posturing, the value of love over everything else in life. Love is the one value that gives life meaning. And if you set your life toward understanding and knowing love, you will spend your life discovering the beauties and the majesties of what it means to genuinely love. So my purpose in this broadcast for the next 30 minutes, it'll be a little bit less, is to open up and give you an opening salvo on what it means to be people of love. Alive to love, everything else is just BS. So in the future, I'm going to have some interviews with people. I have some really cool friends. I know you all do too, but I'm I guess I figure that I've been especially blessed because I don't know that I'm always the best friend to some people, but I know that I've been blessed with great friends. I've got people in Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, Bemidji, Texas. Oh my gosh, I have family in Texas. My wife, you heard her in the introduction of this broadcast. She is my Dixie chick. She and her family and others in Texas have been such a treasure to me over the years. And all of these are people that I have learned a life of love from. I want to introduce some of these folks to you. I've got a dear friend in Chicago, Nolan McCants. This guy will float your boat. I promise. Bishop Nolan McCants will be on these broadcasts off and on through the months and years to come. A gentleman by the name of Dan Rhodes in Atlanta, an author, prolific author. The guy just, he makes me green with jealousy the way he writes. I've written one book. This man, I think, wakes up in the morning and writes a book. He is a prolific theologian and author, but he's a man of love. I've known Dan and his wife Sheila. My wife Ginger and I have known them for the better part of 40 years, and we have only known one thing from them as friends, and that is unmitigated, unconditional love. Another bishop down in Texas, a guy named Ken Myers, another prolific author, phenomenal gentleman, a Southern gentleman, a Southern scholar. I'm going to try to get him up here and interview him, at least by phone. So those are some of the teasers I want to offer you. I want to offer some ladies out there. I won't mention names right now, but we have some dear friends in Cleveland, and there's a lady pastor there that I'm telling you, this gal has a passion and a power of heart and love that I want to make sure you hear from people like that. So there'll be others, and sometimes I hope to get somebody in here in the studio live, which would be a lot of fun. So we'll see how that works as time goes on. But my premise, my purpose, and everything I'm going to do in this radio broadcast is going to be about love. And I promise you that this is a subject that's going to take a lifetime to unpack. So let me give you some values that I'm going to base these discussions on. And all through this, I promise to tell you that which is true and no BS. I like to say I'm all bishop and no BS. I'm not going to float something by you that's just a little bit of a fluff or cotton candy, cheesy, easy peasy spirituality. I'm offering you the hardest mountain to climb in spirituality, but the most rewarding one, and that is love. So here's the three principles that I'm going to base my discussions with you on. Number one, love creates a value where there may not otherwise be an intention. For instance, if I love an object, say I love my car, then that gives that car value to me. So if I say I love that dog, well, you know what? That dog, I don't care how mangy or ugly or snaggletooth that dog is, that dog has value because I gave love to that dog. You know, a child can love a little stuffed animal. Well, and over the years, that little stuffed animal can get stinky and greasy and messed up and torn, and mom or dad or grandpa will sew that stuffed animal back up and maybe put the stuffing back in it. And I'll tell you what, that child loving that stuffed animal gives that little stuffed animal a whole lot of value. So number one, love creates a value where there may not otherwise be an intrinsic value. Number two, we all get to choose who and what we will love. Nobody can love life the way you love life. In other words, you have a fingerprint of love. You're not going to look like anybody else the way you love, nor should you look like anybody else in the way you love. Nobody will love life the way you love life. That's number two. Number three, the human condition. Now, this one's huge. The human condition is hardwired for love. To love and to be loved. We're all here to be alive and loving. So now I want you to catch that again. The minute you drew a breath in this planet, you were looking for love. Your cry as a baby was a cry for love. When that cry was heard in the ears of the attending physician in the room, the nurses, and especially mama, I'm telling you, that cry ignited something in all those people in that room, and that was love. The human condition is hardwired for love, to love and to be loved. We're all here to be alive, to love. So if I'm at odds, if I find myself, I'm going to follow a little pig trail here, bear with me. I do that a lot. If I'm having struggles with a group of people in my culture, if I find myself at odds with people that I don't agree with their lifestyle, I am now challenged to exercise the one value that can manage that group of people and manage me better than anything else can ever manage me. I am wired for love. I need to look at people that I would not otherwise love and learn the principle of loving those people. So we're going to say a lot more about that as time goes on. Again, those three values. Number one, love creates a value that where there may not otherwise be a value. Number two, we all get to choose who and what we love, and nobody can love life the way you love life. We have a fingerprint of love in our life that's singular to us. Number three, the human condition is hardwired for love, to love and to be loved. Without it, we are less than human. With it, we grow to be fully, beautifully human. So when I say that love creates a value where there may not otherwise be a value, and from that Genesis, there is a value that creates that object as something more than it could ever have been, I want to tell you that that's true of people that Jesus said are your enemy. Now let me run for something here with you for just a minute. It seems to me that we people of church and Christianity have way too many enemies. And by that I mean there are some that are going to be an enemy no matter what you do. I get it. I'm 66. I've lived life a while. I've seen enough to know what people can be and what they and how ugly they can be. So I know some folks are just determined to be your enemy no matter what you do. But I also know the vast majority of people end up being an enemy not because they're trying to be, but because we have failed at some level in the value of love. And so they walk away from us, or they chunk rocks at us, or they discuss our failings with others, whatever that may be. People end up being our enemy all too often for no real good cause. And I'm convinced Jesus gave us the powerful cue as to how to deal with that. And here it is. Jesus said a simple statement: love your enemies. Love your enemies. Now, in that passage, it's in Matthew, and it's the Sermon on the Mount. It's the whole Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. It's the constitution and bylaws of Jesus' new kingdom. He said, you know, you heard it of old. You should hate your enemies and love your neighbor or love your friends. But he said, I got something new for you. I'm telling you, love your enemies. Because if you just love those who love you back, what value is that? So now listen. When I learn the power of loving somebody that is hard to love, oh boy, now I'm into a category of life that is going to take me in a journey of growing, something that's going to create in me a bigger place of life, a bigger place of living on the inside of me. If I can aim my decision-making, my understanding of people, if I can aim, take the 1 Corinthians 13 list just as a basic premise, take that as the skeleton, hang some meat on that. If you look at an enemy, whether they're political or relational or whatever other definition for enemy may be, and you can make it your life project to love that enemy, you're going to grow. Something in you is going to change, because you are going to move away from, now listen to this carefully, you're going to move away from narcissism toward an natural kind of living. See, love isn't natural. Eric Fromm wrote a book in the 50s called The Art of Loving. And one of the things he said there is, love isn't natural in terms of how it comes about. It is hardwired to us, hardwired waiting for us to learn the exercise of love. I'll put it this way. So I'm a runner. I love to get out and jog and run. I'm not fast, but I just love to get out there in the fresh air and run. Now listen, running wasn't natural to me when I was born. I had to learn how to run. There was something in me that wanted to get my heart rate up and wanted to exercise. There was something in me, even when I was a brand new baby, there was something in me that wanted to take a deep breath and exhale and get the juices flowing. But I had to learn something that was extra natural. Eric Fromm says, love isn't something natural. Rather, it requires discipline, concentration, patience, faith, and the overcoming of narcissism. Love isn't a feeling. Love is a practice. Boy, do I like that statement. You could say, I love that statement, and it gives it a value it wouldn't otherwise have. So here's what happens. So I end up with an enemy. I end up with somebody whose lifestyle is contrary to what I agree with. Well, suddenly, I have some choices to make there, don't I? So I have to look at that person or that group of people and start making some choices about how I'm going to live my life. And if I can choose to love an enemy, I'm going to grow. I'm going to expand my capacity for relationships. I'm going to expand my capacity to look at people in the eye and through the eyes of God, as opposed to my own little narrow, bigoted eyes. I'm going to start seeing people for the pain that may have inflicted them with a sense of a misappropriated destiny. Or perhaps I'm going to start seeing people who have had a widely different view or a different exercise of life that's taken them to a different understanding of their destiny. And then suddenly I'm going to have to study who they are through the lens of love. And then I'm going to grow, because I won't be narcissistic. Narcissism, as I'm sure most of you know, is a human disorder where all the world is about me. Everything's about me, no matter what it is. I don't care if it's a speed limit that I don't like, if it's a policeman that said something wrong or said something right. I don't care if it's a school teacher or a leader of some organization. Whatever it is, they were plotting against me. that person has a problem because they're not serving me. Narcissism looks at life through the lens of me. Nothing else matters. How do you serve me? But when I love, and especially if I learn to love my enemies, I am moving out of me. I'm moving out of what serves me. I'm moving away from what I define, what I decide, what I want everybody to look like. And I'm discovering a bigger world than me, a bigger world than what's standing in the mirror in front of me. Love takes me to the overcoming of my narcissism, which is why Eric Fromm says, it's not a feeling, it's a practice. It's a way of doing life. Earlier when I opened the broadcast, I said, love is an attitude. Love is a way of doing life. Love is that which will take you further than any other practice in life. Somebody said, well, what about faith? I can tell you about that. 1 Corinthians 13 says, now these three things abide, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Somebody asked me one time who was struggling with their belief in God, their belief in any kind of religious practice. And it's a person that is very near and dear to me. And this person asked me, so I'm fighting with believing in God. What do I do? I just don't have faith. And I said to her, start with love and work your way from there. Don't start with faith. If you don't have faith, boy, you're in good company. There's a lot of people struggling with the issue of faith. But I said, start with love. 1 John, the little epistle in the back of the New Testament says, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Anyway, I told this person, I said, start with love. Don't fight with the whole faith issue or belief issue, because that you spend your whole life wrestling around with that. And this dear person, this dear soul, some weeks later came to me and said, that revolutionized my life. I've become a person of spirituality. I've become a person who sees God, not because I came to some argument of faith, but because I learned to love, and I learned that love was coming at me, and love was what led me to God, not belief or faith or a set of credos, but love led me to God. You know, that's my story, and over the weeks and months, years to come on this broadcast, I'll tell my story. Love is what grabbed me. As a high school kid, I was self-harming. I was self-destructive. I grew up in a home that was massively dysfunctional. There were drugs and alcohol in my home. There was physical abuse in my home. We were impoverished on the north side of Milwaukee in a little $90 tenement apartment. Man, it was a crammed little apartment, and my little brain was incubated in a lot of dysfunction. But one day, love discovered me. And when I discovered that, it set me on a course that's now half a century later. I'm still pursuing love. I'm still looking for the meaning, the value, the purpose of love, and how love can transform any life, any way. So, you know, I've said a mouthful here, and I promise you again, I purpose to show you that love is the highest and perhaps the only value of life that matters, and everything else is potentially, if not explicitly, BS. It's add-on. You and I are called to be motivated by love. I'll give you a little illustration floats through my brain right there, and I'll follow that pig trail. So if I have a product to sell, if I'm a salesperson, which is a valuable vocation, I know a lot of people who do it with great love. So if I'm a salesperson and I love my product, I really genuinely love it. It's not just put on. It's not just that I'm trying to strong arm people or convince people of something. I love my product, and I love how my product serves people. So if I'm a salesperson and I love all of that arena around the product and the people that I want to introduce it to, I'm going to be motivated not by manipulation or control, not by taking a conversation down some arena that's going to corner people into saying yes, say yes, say yes. No. Love will not be controlling. Love will express itself in a way that's passionate and beautiful, And if that person becomes convinced that what I have is beautiful to own, they'll seek me out as a salesperson. And love will win the day, even in that vocation, that beautiful and simple vocation of sales. Well, there you have it. I'm down to about the last 4 minutes here, so I want to make sure I wrap this up in as tidy a way as I can. I am personally committed to what I started earlier in the broadcast. Author and musician Rico Dashim said, live to learn to love. Learn to love to live. Love to live to learn, so that you may live the life you yearn. Listen, folks, there's a mouthful there, and I just don't have time to unpack any more of it right there. Love is an attitude. Love is a way of doing life, and it's going to take your whole life to learn that beautiful practice, that beautiful expression of the human soul, the human spirit. All religions, all philosophy, even science, finds its meaning in love. Whether we are loving a subject or loving the people that the subject affects, or we're loving the results of a scientific exploration, there it is. Love is the motivation. I found myself one day, and I'll close with this, found myself one day as a pastor, feeling that dry, crusty sense of, man, I'm just going through the motions here. Something's got to change in me. And I realized in that day that I was not loving myself. I wasn't loving the God who called me to pastor as I could. And especially, I wasn't loving the people that I was serving. You know, pastors, if you're listening, or leaders of any vocation, if you're listening, it's a challenge to just love people. Sometimes that is the greatest mountain to climb. So I had to adjust me back to this one specific value, love. Loving God, loving myself, loving people, loving the calling that I had been placed in. It changed everything, folks. And I'm telling you that if you will decide to be alive to love and walk a path that's living love, you're going to discover your purpose in life. Say it with me. I'm alive to love. Nothing else matters more than love. So I'm going to say that phrase in different ways over the weeks to come. I'm alive to love. And everything else is going to have to find its expression in love, or my life is going to continue to be somewhat confined. I believe love changes everything. So I'm Randy Dean. I'm a bishop. I'm all bishop and no BS. Going to be here every Sunday and every Saturday at the times that you'll hear in just a moment from my wife. God bless you. Thanks for the honor of your time. I trust that you've gotten something today that will change your life. I'm alive to love. Come join me in living to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.